Reading from verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house, that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Second Epistle of Timothy. Second Timothy, verse chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 1 Timothy. Chapter 3. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground, or the pillar and stay, or the pillar and foundation, or the ground of the truth. Now one more verse in the 11th Psalm. Psalm 11. Verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, it is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, so hate it. Now you'll have no difficulty in seeing what we have been reading in connection with foundations. The first scripture we read is about a man, two men that are building on a foundation. One built upon a foundation. He dig deep when he laid the foundation, and he built his house, and the wind came and the rain beat upon the house, and it fell not. Now, I want to think of that, and I believe it is in accord with the, in the connection, as our personal building as Christians. You know, each one of us have, I might say, a twofold life that we live. We have a personal life and we have an assembly life. We're building as individuals and we're building as collective companies. Now I want to think of this first one. The Lord Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Him that cometh unto me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Now just a little word to each one of us as individual Christians. You know, sometimes when people get saved, they think, "Well, I'm saved now and I'm going to heaven, and what's the sense of being suffering any opposition from the world or my relatives? I'm going to be in heaven." And so they just seek to line up with the popular idea in the world. They never know what it is to take up the cross and follow Christ. They never know what it is in practical Christianity to put into practice the sayings of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes I confess that maybe it's because of lack of teaching new young converts, because there never was a commission given to go and preach the gospel without teaching young believers. It's a sad thing when a soul gets saved and they don't get any teaching as to what God would have them to do in relation to baptism and in relation to their church position and in relation to their personal lives and personal sanctification and what they should do as believers. And there's no foundation. Now, God expects the evangelist to do that, those who preach the gospel. And every Christian should be exercised about other young Christians to seek to get them grounded in the truth of God, in the ways of the Lord. Now, just as surely as you profess faith in the Lord Jesus, there's going to be the winds, and there's going to be the storms, and there's going to be the floods. And if I, as a Christian, when I get saved, if I don't put into practice those things, the sayings of my Lord, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? When the floods arise, I'll be overwhelmed. When the winds begin to blow, I'll be blown with the wind. Because I have no stability, I have no foundation. I'm not built upon the rock. I haven't dig deep." Oh, dear Christian, remember. I remember Brother Harris and I, a few years ago, when he was over in Prince Edward Island, we visited a couple away out in the country. A man that professed to get saved at our meeting lived in a place called Wheatley River. And that dear man, he was as bright a soul as you'd wish to meet. Very bright. And as he listened to us ministering the Word of God and Bible readings, he used to enjoy it. He said, "That's right. It's there in the Bible. That's right." But you know, he heard the saying, and he has sent it to us. But when the time for baptism came up, he refused to go ahead and be baptized. It was a case of me first, or my father, me first, or let me first bury my father, then I will follow thee. I remember Mr. Harris said to him, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." I visited that dear man about a year afterwards, and he said, I'll never forget Mr. Harris, the way he said those words, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments." That's over 4 years ago, and he hasn't kept the commandments. He hasn't got that done. The floods have arisen. He's gone back into the same place that he was before God saved him. The place you'd never think that he would go again. No gospel preach. He belongs to the same clubs and things and farmers' unions that he belonged to before God saved him. And that poor dear fellow's testimony is gone. And I've never seen, as far as being an aggressive Christian concerned. I don't think he would back into sin in any way. He still, I believe, sees him going to heaven, but he's got no personal testimony. As far as a Christian is concerned, and I've never seen a more practical demonstration of this verse. He heard the word, but he didn't put it into practice, with the result that when the floods came and the winds blew, he was blown about. He didn't know where he stood because he had no foundation. Now, dear Christian, we're living in days when we underestimate the power of Satan. You know, there's one thing that the devil's interested in. It isn't in the satellite that's flying around the world in space. It isn't in the gold and silver that has been mined out of Mother Earth. And it's none of the things, the new automobiles and the new machinery and the new homes and all the things that we're interested in. That's not Satan's interest. Satan, like the king of Sodom, he says, give me the souls and you take the goods. That's what he said to Abraham. And he's still saying the same today. I want the soul. The Lord's inheritance is his people. And the devil knows that. And if there's anything the devil's up to do today, it's to attract the hearts of individual Christians away from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows his downfall is sure. When we sit and remember the Lord Jesus on Lord's Day morning, when we break the bread and drink the cup, I believe, my friend, there's mourning in hell because Satan knows the Lord Jesus, we read of him, that he died that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil knows his downfall is sure. When we break the bread on Lord's Day morning and drink the cup, we're professing, we're remembering the Lord's death, we're proclaiming that the devil has been defeated. But if he can sidetrack me as an individual Christian from the Lord Jesus, as I'm traveling through this scene to my heavenly home, hasn't he won a great victory? Hasn't he? Oh, you think of it. You think of it. And you don't believe it the other day? Well, about us all and all the sum of us here? This was all his own personal exercise. He conceived it 5 years ago. And it was a while before he found this place as a Christian. He played hockey after he stayed in the team and went around and sometimes we wondered if he was really gay, but he eventually got baptized. Oh, that strengthened. I tell you, it strengthened. He got his feet under him after he was baptized. The old hockey was all gone by. He was getting down to the foundation. He was digging deep, and it cost him something to break. It's easier to break when you get saved. The dear fellow, after he got baptized, he seemed to get a real lift as he was going on to the Lord. Sister-in-law professed to be saved at our meeting this summer. And she's been engaged to a young man up in Ontario. With an Isle man that he can hold in Ontario. But he wasn't saved. He can hold it in there. And dear girl, he thought to speak to her as a young believer about those things. She acknowledged, yes, they're right. She said, I know it'll just be a pull each way. If I could true with it. She seemed exercised with breaking the link. But when she saw the young man, you know, we're all given to letting the sight of the eye overcome a spiritual thing. And when she saw the young man, she just couldn't resist being married to that young man. But her brother-in-law, this man I speak of, he took her aside and he took the scriptures. And he said, there it is in the Word of God. There it is in the Word of God. He told me last Sunday night, he said, never was as many tears shed in our home. He said, they wanted me to go to the wedding. And I refused to go. He said, they wanted me to go to the wedding supper. And I refused to go. He said, my wife, she thought we should at least go to the wedding supper. He said, I just said, Georgie, the Lord Jesus gave it all for us. The Lord Jesus gave it all for us. Now, are we going to compromise or give up his principle just to satisfy some of our relatives? Or words to that effect. He said, I stood firm. He said, oh, was I ever thankful when Brother Joyce got up? He said, tonight, and ministered on that word. A clean cut separation from the world. Oh, he said, didn't it fill my soul? He said, I think that I have obeyed the word of God. Now listen, dear Christian, that's the floods. When it comes into a family, when it comes into our personal connections, it's all right to see what somebody else should do. But the test is when it comes to my own personal relations, my own family life. That's the floods that will overwhelm us. Unless I have my feet on the Word of God, unless I know the thus saith the Lord, and I have my affection centered on the man of Calvary, and I'm going to do what he says regardless. Because as someone said the other night, all human relationships are centered at Calvary. Friend, there will be the floods. There will be the winds. You happen to dig deep and you know why. You believe certain things. Then you'll be overwhelmed. And don't be surprised that when the winds blow, you'll be found here at the north. And when it blows south, you'll be found at the south. And when it blows west, you'll be found in the west. And the result will be you'll never really know what you should do as a Christian. If the light that is in me be darkness, how great is thy darkness? I believe the application is there. If I know anything, the my whole body shall be full of light. And if I haven't got a single eye to the man of Calvary, I'll never know what I should do in my personal life as a Christian. I won't know where I should work. I won't know where I should live. I won't know what I should do. I won't know what the Lord wants me to do. And as Brother Holder said last night, and I say amen to it just yesterday, I believe that God has a plan for every Christian's life. And I believe it's God's mind that we should be in the center of His will. And if I'm not as a Christian, then I should get down and search myself. I know. We don't put up ourselves as saying that we know always when we're in the mind of God. But friend, we want to know. And we would say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my way. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. And you find the greatest enemy to that is right in here. A woman. Our own self. Now, dear Christian, do you want to get on the foundation as a believer? You get baptized and you're here. Get baptized. And then take the word of God and see what God would have you to do as a Christian in relation to your church association. Because God has a pattern. And if Mr. Harris used to often tell us when we were young believers, being molded in the apostle's doctrine, he used to say there's something that is right. And what isn't right is wrong. I've proven that over the last 23 years. Dear Christian, remember, there's a path for the believer in the Word of God. You seek to find it. Now, in these days, we believe we're living in Laodicean days. Now, there's going to be a testimony right on until the Lord Jesus comes to us. He said, just do for a remembrance of me until I come. You just show the Lord death that he comes. He'll see to it that there'll be a testimony. And there'll be the breaking of the bread. The last Lord's day before he comes. Just a minute. But in the midst of the Laodicean period, we believe that we're living in that. He says, I stand at the door and knock with any man. There's a collective testimony. That collective testimony is only as strong as the any man. As the ones who hear him knocking and open the door and suck with him. Are you interested in your personal living? Are you just satisfied? As I heard Brother Howard say, I think it's around about 12 years ago at the Moncton Conference. He said, do you want to be a good Christian? Do you want to be a good Christian? We often tell people when we're preaching the gospel, a man said he could sneeze at every one of you. Well, a man said, sneeze. He said, I don't want to. And you know, there's a lot of Christians like that. They say, they would tell you that they would like to live for the Lord. But when it gets right down to brass tacks, as we often say, do you really want to live for the Lord? He that willeth to do the will of the Lord shall know the doctrine. There's nothing mysterious about the things of God. There's nothing hard to understand. Sometimes people talk about receiving people on the ground of light or light, which is, well, friend, it's not on the ground of light, it's on the ground of obedience. The light is here. And the Word of God is the light. And if we're willing to bow to the Word of God, there's nothing difficult about God's simple, easy, unencumbered prayer. And there, in the Acts of the Apostles, who could read it through without seeing baptism? Only a Christian didn't want to see it. Why, a child that is old enough to trust Christ could see believer's baptism. Therefore, if a person doesn't doubt a believer's baptism, then they are disobedient. If they have a Bible in their mother tongue, there it is. And all we need is a submissive will. So, dear Christian, if we want to know God's mind for us in our personal living, let us know what it is and have a submissive will. Seek, Lord, thy servant here. And these days when there's so much loose living, my advice to meet Christians that have their affection centered on the Lord Jesus. And they have a conscience of a little thing, but the world counts little things. They have a conscience of them. And we'd like to give every child of God a credit for having a conscience, certainly. You know, you can get a seared conscience. Oh, let us know what it is to dig deep and to lay the foundation. And I tell you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, these days in which we're living, if you want to get the most out of your Christianity, you want to know what it is, put that things into practice. But is the personal side of it. And here's another little verse we read in 2 Timothy. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. We're living in days, you know, when there's a mixed multitude among us. People that are not saved are assembling. And they're only increased. Now that should humble us. I heard something the other day. Oh, God, don't give him credit for being true. Well, it did come from a minister. We went to visit a sister over on the island that had been, she's a preacher in one of the denominations. She's one of these ladies that always was there when the minister wasn't there to lead the part. So, several years ago, she applied for fellowship in the assembly in Charlottetown. She was gathered in the Lord's name. Her father is a preacher. So they're having some special meetings nearby, and they thought it'd be a good time to get her lined up again and get her back into the fold. And so they sent the preacher, the evangelist, to see her. When he got there, I guess he got a little more than he bargained for. And the last thing he could say as a trust, he said, well, he said, you have to acknowledge, and by the way, he's one of these people that were saved in the assembly. But it would have bound the will of God to be drifted out. So he said, well, you have to say that the people that gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus in the assemblies, he said, or he didn't use that term, he said, the people in the assemblies know their Bibles, the brethren know their Bibles. He said, the only fault I have against them is that there's so many unsaved people. I don't believe for a moment that was his own conviction. Because if there's any place in the world today where people are screened before they sit down at the Lord's table or commit a fellowship, certainly in the assembly. But I don't deny for a moment that there are unsaved people amongst us. And I believe that in many places there'll be enough left to carry on the remembrance. When the Lord comes, what a solemn thing it is. Now that's our difficulty when it comes to building a foundation. Sister so-and-so, she sees that other sister. She goes crazy and she does things. That you have a conscience against. But she does it, and everyone seems to shake hands with her and say, and use her like a Christian, well, they want to harm me. And when you go ahead and do it, you get a seared conscience. Oh, dear Christian, we're living in perilous days. You know, we need to know what it is to be on the, have our ear tuned as we were hearing, and when he knocks, open, let him in, sup with him daily. This is a real feast upon him. But do we know what it is to sup with him daily? Isn't it worth it? Now the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. If a person tells you there that they are saved, I believe that word next year is trying to think it over. Here they're getting lawless ways. That's about lawless. Through the Old Testament, that word, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, know my ways, and see if there be any wicked way, any wickedness in the Old Testament, invariably is the word lawlessness. Lawlessness. Now, if a person professes to be saved and they're a lawless Christian, that is lawless against the word of God. They won't go to a picnic. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's the seal. And that every woman nameth the name of the Lord, depart from the iniquity. And if they don't, you depart from them. Now, so much for the personal side of the picture. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to think of the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in relation to another foundation. There, the apostle said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. There it is. What foundation did he lay? Well, I was talking with a believer last winter, who has been saved a good number of years. And I thought to tell him what this scripture, the interpretation of it. He said, I never heard that before. Maybe you're here, and you don't know what foundation Paul was talking about. He was talking there about the foundation of the local assembly at Corinth, the local church. That's what he was speaking of. The local church at Corinth. Now he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. But I'm not always going to be here. Others are going to build upon that foundation. Now he says, and every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now as Christians, we're building on a foundation that has been laid. The assembly, the New Testament church. And he says, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Why? Because it's important. You know, we were speaking in prayer, how the devil would like to blot out every individual testimony and every collective testimony to the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, there's no place in the world today that the devil hasn't invaded. And I would say, cut the mic. From the Word of God. No need to point out a statement without being able to prove it from the Word of God. Now we read in that scripture, that the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, and that has reference to the local church, because it's there that you behave yourself. It's true also of the universal church, but it's true of the local church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. I mention this as prejudice. I mention it again here. There are certain truths that God instituted and gave to humanity. God wants them preserved. In Adam, God instituted headship. And it's good to remember that. That's a truth that God wanted perpetuated right down to the ages. He established headship in Adam. Where will you find it in the world today expressed? Hasn't the devil in his wily way seen to it? That the woman of the world, she dresses like the man? She shears off her hair like a man. She appears out in ways that you would be taken. You'd wonder sometimes whether it is a man or a woman going down the street before you. What is it? It's to upset God's plan. Where do you find it reserved? I'll tell you where you'll find it reserved. In the local church, speaking to the authority of the pastor, the Word of God, you find that the woman is in subjection. She has her long hair in mark of her subjection, and her head covered, and she sits in silence as the brethren minister. That's the only place in Christendom. The front. Is there anyone that God said is a pillar and ground of the truth? Then you go a little further. God established government in Noah. How long did it last? How long? Wasn't very long until that government was corrupted. But my friend, we have in the Word of God, and I enjoy this thought, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. To whom did he say it? He said it to a people, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, they are mine in the midst of them. And the only government that you have that seal put upon is the government of a local church. You'll be again together in my name. It's the only place where God says, I'll bind in heaven what you bind on earth, and I will loose in heaven what you loose on earth. With our beloved queen and her prime ministers and the president of the United States, they can make their laws, but God never said, I'll bind it in heaven, or I'll loose it in heaven. You loose one of them, and he came so in a local church. Mm-hmm. I never get glad you're son of God to connect with the local assembly. I never get jealous for its ways and principles. Government was established, and it's the only place today where God has, where God is close. Now, we know all government is ordained of God, a thousand years are ordained of God. But where two or three are gathered together in my name,
that's why the devil wants to make it and destroy it.
Then God established in Aaron priesthood. And how long was it before Jeroboam, dear Vern Martin, if some of you haven't got the truth and tidings